Today on Real Radio.
There's always somebody better. But is that going to cause us as a church to sit back and say, well, there's somebody better, so why do anything at all? Listen, that's a wimpy thing to do. Wimpy's a Greek word for, no, I'm kidding. We have been saved. We're going to heaven. We're God's people. And the Lord wants us as a local body of believers to be involved in getting that news to others. Somehow you received the gospel of Christ because someone was a missionary to you. But the blessings will come to the local church by growth and by witness.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in a mini-series called The Gospel Goes to the World. That's truly what makes this written New Testament account so fascinating. The good news of Moshiach quickly spread even into parts of the world outside of the Roman Empire in a very short amount of time. Let's continue with this presentation taken from Acts 13. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
God is just blessing and God is leading and guiding, and we're looking in the area of what God wants to do with the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13, because it's in this chapter that the gospel then will now begin to go to the world. And this is exciting stuff, because right now on your lap is a Bible that you became interested in, that you began to study, that you came to faith in Jesus Christ, all because of what happened, what started in Acts chapter 13. You are a very byproduct this morning of the very chapter that we're studying. And we need to remember that as we keep it in mind. We need to also realize this, that in the last time, by remembrance really, that the last time we were together, we looked at four things concerning if a church is going to reach out with the gospel, they can expect blessings. God will bless you. God will bless a church who's committed on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I warned you last week not to fold your hands and think, well, obviously, Acts 13 is about missions. I don't need to be involved. Well, listen, you're more involved than you think. And as we get through this morning, I hope it touches you more than you have ever expected. If the gospel is going to go to the world, we can certainly expect blessings, and we looked at that, how, first of all, where will the blessings come? Where will they come upon us? And we saw that it is the local church. God uses, like the church in Antioch, the local body of believers to do a work for Him. You and I have been brought up in a world, and I think in a tendency to think, somebody else will do it. There's always somebody else better. And there is someone always better. There's always somebody better. But is that going to cause us as a church to sit back and say, well, there's somebody better, so why do anything at all? Listen, that's a wimpy thing to do. Wimpy's a Greek word for, no, I'm kidding. We have been saved. We're going to heaven. We're God's people. And the Lord wants us as a local body of believers to be involved in getting that news to others. Somehow you received the gospel of Christ because someone was a missionary to you. But the blessings will come to the local church by growth and by witness. We saw last time how those blessings will come. They will come that as the church is worshiping God and ministering to Him, God will then begin to speak and use that body. We looked last week at when will these blessings come, and that will be while the Word of God is being preached and the Word of God is being taught. We can guarantee through God the blessings upon this church on one key fact alone, and that is, are we going to stay true to the Bible? Are we going to stay true to the Word of God? As long as we're faithful to the Word of God, God will bless this work. Simple as that. Jack, can it be that simplistic? It is that simplistic. God knew what He was working with. It's us. It's got to be simple, or else we'll botch it up. We'll goof it up. Yet the Word of God is to be the very tool where God will not only bless his church, but after all, if you're truly a lamb of God, the only thing that will quench your hunger and your thirst is Bible, period. And then we saw last time, why will the blessings come? If the church is preaching the word and the church is gathering and worshiping, if the church is growing, why will the blessings come? How is that to be? Why is that to be? When is it to happen? And here's the answer to that. Jesus Christ, as long as he is looked upon as the pastor of this church, as long as Jesus is the one who's dealing out the pastoral care of this body, then we can be rest assured that God's going to do his thing. And also this, if the Holy Spirit is left alone to do what he wants to do, if we do not quench the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit, as we'll see in Acts chapter 13, that sends out people to do his work. And so we're going to see this morning, we've seen the blessings last week, this morning we'll see the opposition that comes when the gospel is to go to the world. Why don't you follow along with me by way of review? Acts 13, beginning at verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man, and this man was called of Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell upon him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Verse 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. We're going to be looking this morning at the things that are in opposition to us giving the gospel out. What are the things that align themselves against us? You know, you and I can spend all day going over things. We could think of things like lack of planning, lack of prayer, lack of Bible knowledge, lack of wisdom, lack of maturity. You could go on all day long about some of the things that would be in opposition to us sharing the gospel around the world. Well, I want you to know, first of all, right now, there's only one thing that hinders the gospel. That very one thing will use many other facets, certainly. And we're going to get into what that one thing is this morning. But before we do, I want to lay something out before you. This church, as long as this church is in existence, or I should say, as long as I'm here pastoring this church, it's going to be committed to missions. I don't care if the mission is across the street with the 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds, or if it's the community around us, if it's an Easter sunrise morning outreach, or if it's going to the other side of the earth to give the gospel. Jesus Christ has told us to proclaim the word of God. He didn't say to keep it limited. He didn't say to bottle it and keep it in close. He said to spread it. And you might be thinking this morning, "You go, Jack, you do it, brother." I got news for you. This is a non-spectator church. You are either a goer according to the word of God, or you're a sender. Don't raise your hand right now, but how many of you are believers in Jesus Christ? If you are, you are either a goer regarding missions, or you're a sender. Oh gosh, I hate categories, Jack. I hate black and white. Sorry, I didn't write the book. You're either a sender or you're a goer. Does that make you uncomfortable? It ought to make you uncomfortable. First of all, you got to be uncomfortable because You may be thinking, I don't want to be a sender or a goer. Boy, does God want to do a work on your heart. The other thing is, gee, am I a sender or am I a goer? And that's a great thing for you to find out. By the way, you have to find that out. And God's going to see to it that you find it out. But we're going to look at the things, if the gospel is to go to the world, we can expect opposition. Listen to this. There are four gospels on your lap, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and every one of them declare clearly or they insinuate that we ought to be going or we ought to be sending. Listen to this. Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, verse 9, says that we are to go, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel. That is not a Christian option. We're to do it. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world. It's not an option. It's a commandment. In Luke's gospel, listen carefully, chapter 24 to verse 49, Luke says there, Jesus speaking, behold, I send you the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Tarry or wait into the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I ask you, why? Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, go wait in Jerusalem, and you shall be filled with power from on high, and then you shall be my witnesses. Not to Chino Hills alone, but to Jerusalem, to Samaria, to Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we're to do. We are to be his witnesses. But this morning, I want every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, and by the way, if you're visiting from some other church, that's great. God bless you. When you go back home, you still, the Holy Spirit is still going to lay on you this burden. Are you going to be a sender or are you going to be a goer? You can't hide it. You can't put it away. You can't sweep it underneath the carpet, so to speak. Listen to John's gospel. You might be saying, gosh, Jack, I don't remember John's gospel saying anything specifically about going. Oh, yes, listen to this. I almost wish Jesus wouldn't have prayed this prayer. It's his high priestly prayer in John 17. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says to them, Lord, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. He's talking about his disciples, but that you should keep them from the evil one, that is Satan. Jesus, wait a minute, time out. Let's edit that prayer. Let's make it like this. Dear Lord, the moment they bow their heads and accept me as Lord and Savior of their life, rapture them and take them to heaven so that they don't have any problems. Oh man, hallelujah, that's what I want. The moment I bowed my head, oh Lord, come into my life, cleanse me from my sins, receive me now, boom, up into heaven. Isn't that the way it ought to be? I don't know why he didn't ask me. That's what I would have told him. The moment someone accepts you, up they go, no problem, no tribulation, no trials, no pain, no death. No ministry. A friend of mine told me, isn't the ministry great? I go, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. And he goes, yeah, it sure is. It'd be even more better if we didn't have to deal with people. And I laughed because he had a really rough day. And I laughed. There is no ministry without people. Sure would have been easy for Jesus to have somebody else hang on the cross. Or maybe just fax his letter up ahead and say, I'm willing to hang on the cross. But until the day he came and hung on the cross, that was ministry at its absolute fullness, to give your life completely. And you might be thinking this morning, I'll give my life. I can die for Christ. Well, praise the Lord, and I'm sure you can. But here's what's more important. Can you live for Christ? If officers came in right now with AK-47s and said, denounce Christ or else you're going to die. Hey, listen, we could sing a couple of hymns. We could make some prayer, go up before the Lord. We could all be together and come on, you can do it. And the guy begins to machine gun us down and we all go to glory. We all enter heaven at the same time holding hands. Isn't that great? But if somebody comes in with a machine gun and says, live the next 35 years without backsliding. Live the next 35 years without turning your back on Christ or having an evil thought. Ay, ay, ay. Hey, wait a minute. Put a gun to my head. That'd be easier. It's hard to live for him. But we are to be witnesses for him wherever we go. And we're going to look at some things that are not an option, no matter what we think. We are either goers or we are senders. The gospel says, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:15 says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, you may not be a goer, but you're a sender. It gives me great pleasure to tell you that every nickel you tied to this church, a portion of it goes to missions. Last year, there were tens of thousands of dollars that this church spent on missions. And we love that. We think that's why God's blessing is because we want to see the commission fulfilled that he's given to us. But listen to this. We are either called to go for a week or for a year or for a lifetime. We are either called to be a sender, and that is with a dollar or with $100 or with $1 million. But we cannot sit idle. There's no way. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, this is exciting stuff. In Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, this gospel, I could almost see him holding his Bible at the Sea of Galilee, and he says, this Bible shall be preached in all the world to every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and then the end shall be. Matthew 24:14. I love it that he didn't say some other gospel is going to be preached, and then the end will come. He didn't say some latter-day gospel is going to be preached and then the end will come. He said this gospel will be preached and then the end will come. We know from the book of Revelation chapter 14 verse 6 where John says there in his revelation that he saw an angel flying through the midst of heaven. The word is atmosphere, not heaven where God is, but the atmosphere, an angel flying through the sky during the great tribulation period that's yet to come. And that angel will proclaim the everlasting gospel, and he will preach it to those who are on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. Isn't that great news? What was the first book ever rolled off a press? The Bible. What was the first book ever put into a computer? The Bible. What is going to be the first book, the first news broadcast simultaneously around the world? By the way, they'll tell you that they have been for years distributing these little portable receivers that are in jungles where they have no reception. And these things have been tuned through a frequency band that is going to pick up Billy Graham's broadcast from Puerto Rico. Could it be that the gospel will be preached and everyone will hear it? Certainly it will be when the angel announces it in the great tribulation period. But Jesus said the gospel will be preached before the end. I don't know about you, but that ought to fire you up. The gospel is going to be transmitted right into Saddam Hussein's house. It's going to go right into the Kremlin. It's going to go right into the whatever, Taj Mahal, you name it. This is an incredible time that we live in. And I don't know about you, but if you don't have a passion about getting out the Word of God, then you need to get one. You need to realize what it's doing. You need to come to Russia with this or go to Mexico or something. If your Christianity is somehow sleepy, it's time to wake up. Gosh, Jack, you're putting me on the spot. Now listen, you don't have to be a goer. You can be a sender. You can be a sender through prayer. You can be a sender through financial help so someone else can go. But we've got to work with the Lord to get the gospel out. And when that happens, there's going to be opposition, and we're going to talk about that right now. If the gospel is going to go to the world, we can expect opposition. In Acts chapter 13, listen to this, starting at verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God. You ought to circle that. That's great. They're preaching. Whenever you give out the word of God, you can expect opposition. Plan on it. Prepare for it. In the synagogues, they preached the gospel to the Jews. It says there, they also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. Listen carefully. This man called for Barnabas and Saul. Why? Always ask questions when you read the Bible, because it says there he sought to hear the word of God. Satan is not going to sit back and go, oh, great, evangelist, spreading the good news of Christ. Ah, but wait a minute. Jack, you're assuming something here. You're assuming I believe in a devil. You believe in God? If you believe in God, you've got to believe in a devil. God says that there's a devil. I still don't believe in it. Well, listen to this. Paul the Apostle told us that we need to be wise concerning Satan's tactics. He says, don't be ignorant concerning his devices. How many of us are ignorant? Listen to this. A 1991 Gallup poll. They asked this question. Do you believe that Satan, the devil, is nothing more than a symbol of evil and is not a real person? That was the question by George Gallup, 1991. Remember, we talked about opposition in the opening of this message, and all of it can be culminated in one thing. That thing is not a thing. That thing is a person. It is Satan himself. That's where opposition comes from. Satan will see to it that you have opposition. You may be sitting here this morning very apathetic. You could care less. And boy, he's got you good. You may be sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I don't believe in a devil. Boy, does he really have you good. Oh, Jack, you expect me to believe some guy running around and pitchfork and all that stuff with tight red underwear on? Listen, first of all, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28, 1 Peter 5, we'll get into this, that Satan is absolutely awesome in his appearance. The Bible tells us that he's an angel of light. He appears as an angel of light. If Satan was to show up right now in this service, oh, Jack, don't talk like that. It gives me goosebumps. Hey, you know what? If he showed up right now, you wouldn't even be afraid of him. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that when we see him, we're going to narrowly look at him. We're going to squint our eyes, and it says that we will say, is this the one who's caused all the trouble? He's the one. He's beautiful. You think Satan's going to show up with, you know, horns hanging out of his head and all this stuff? Listen, that's from Hollywood. He's not like that. If he showed up on the scene, you'd think, what a guy. Paul the Apostle warns us over and over again to look for Satan's ministers. Where? In some back alley someplace? No, he says, look in the pulpit. There are imposters. That's what the word, by the way, Bar-Jesus is all about. This Eliamus was his name translated. He went around. He was fake. He went around saying, my name's Bar-Jesus. My name's Bar-Jesus. Well, what's Bar-Jesus? The word bar means son of. Like Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Bar-Jesus is son of Jesus. The guy was an imposter. I'm the son of Jesus. Watch what I can do. You see the word sorcerer there? It means he's a magician. He was a con artist. He practiced the arts, and the word also implies that he used drugs. It's where we get the word drugs, pharmaceuticals, pharmakei. He used drugs to also induce his victims into his deception. What's his name? Bar-Jesus. Here at your service to pull off the latest sham.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Gospel Goes to the World, a mini-series taken from the first 12 verses of the book of Acts chapter 13. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio with more, so be sure and join us once again. Now, before we wrap up today's broadcast, just a brief reminder that the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is just about 2 months away. So if you haven't yet registered for this ticketed event, just pay a brief visit to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Very easy to use. There's even a brief video presentation by Pastor Jack wherein he tells you all about the featured participants. Again, SoCalProphecyConference.com. Or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.